My name is Frank Fumilo. Together with Professor Ellie Sachs, I started 1366. And we are working to make solar cheaper than coal.
And tell me about the name of the company.
1366 Technologies, that is the amount of sun energy that we are getting from our solar system. So every planet has its own solar constant. Mars gets about 750 watts per square meter. Venus gets about 2,900 watts per square meter. It's definitely too hot on Venus. Earth has this sort of Goldilocks 1366 watts per square meters. That's the amount of energy we're getting. The interesting part of that is that you can then multiply that by the cross-section of the planet and you know how much energy is coming in. And that turns out that about 80,000 terawatts hits the Earth's surface. Of that 80,000 terawatts, we only have to capture 15 to power our entire civilization, because that's our energy use today. And so we only have to capture a very small fraction of that solar energy in order to fulfill our needs. And we thought that was a compelling calculation, and so we named the company after that solar constant.
Very interesting. It's truly a global view.
Thank you.
Now, what's different about your approach to making this versus the way these solar cells have been made in the past?
There's a couple of things we do. We have a couple of steps in the cell process to increase the efficiency of the cell. But the big breakthrough is the work that was funded by RPE, where we dramatically lower the cost of the wafer. And it is as much as an 80% cost reduction over today's price. And so that is significant, because the wafer is more than half of the final module cost. And by dramatically reducing that cost, we really are making a genuine step towards making solar cheaper than the cost of coal.
And what is it that you're doing that's allowing you to achieve that cost reduction?
Well, it's really the invention of my co-founder, Ellie Sachs, who came up with a methodology to make the wafer directly from the melt. Now, it's useful to understand how that is done today. And today, you melt the silicon, you create a big block, you then saw the blocks into bricks, you then saw these bricks into wafers. And these are very costly processes which take a lot of time, take a lot of equipment, have a lot of consumables, things like the slurry and the wire all get consumed in the process. And then at the end, you end up with this wafer. The invention of Ellie has been to grab the wafer directly from the molten silicon. A bit like you could imagine a winter lake freezing over and you pull off the ice sheet. And by doing that, you eliminate all these steps. And instead of four pieces of equipment, you now have one. And you get twice as many wafers per pound of silicon. And you can imagine that is a big cost reduction. And also significantly less time. It's a much faster process. We literally produce a wafer in seconds, whereas to saw a block of wafers takes as much as 6 hours. And so we go directly from the melt, boom, into a wafer. And so it's a much more efficient process.
Can we see the wafers or how they're made?
No.
That's in the behind closed doors, kept top secret kind of category, huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So where did the stimulus money come into play here?
Well, we had at the time when the call for proposals came out, we had done a little bit of benchtop work and we had played with some ideas. We had, you know, at the time we had not done any demonstration in silicon itself, and so we didn't know if this was even possible. The RPE proposal, which was high risk, high return, allowed us to start this process in earnest, and then we demonstrated it in silicon, and have since increased our efficiency, have scaled up in wafer size to the full size, 6 by 6 inches. And that has directly led to significant additional private funding. So the 4 million from RPE, that contract was signed in December. In January, private money, our existing investors said, okay, we'll match that, and they invested an additional $5 million. And just a couple of weeks ago, we closed a $20 million round to bring this technology to production. So there's been significant leverage of the taxpayer dollar. For the $4 million we got, we raised an additional $25 million of private money to further expand this. And hopefully, when we're successful, we'll create an entire industry. And so I think within a decade, we will have solar cells that are cheaper than coal. And that, of course, will be transformative.
Now, when you say solar cheaper than coal, are you thinking coal stays where it is in cost, or coal has to come up in cost to help you get under that bar?
We believe we can be cheaper than coal at the price that coal is today. But clearly, an increase in coal will help us to get there faster. And if there was any fairness in the world, coal would be charged at a higher price because they inflict damage on the environment, on society, and somehow or another those costs are not borne in the price. We just all collectively carry that. But that said, it is possible to bring solar down with enough effort in technology development and the sort of things that we are doing. It is possible to bring solar down to the cost that coal-generated electricity is today.
Now, someone of a more free market mindset might look at this situation and say, well, the private investors would have wanted to put money in your effort anyway, if there's such potential. Why was government support needed?
As it turns out, it's very difficult for the private market to do R&D. You look at the big research breakthroughs, even in our capitalistic society, that's pretty efficient. We have the best capital markets in the world. We have the strongest venture community on the planet. And even in our country, the big technical breakthroughs are funded by government. You look at satellite communication, GPS, the original development of the ARPANET, jet engines, all of that was funded by government R&D. It's just because R&D is incredibly risky. And in this case, ARPA was first. They said, okay, this is a risky project. All you have is a little bit of lab demonstration. And then once their vote of confidence came in, then private followed with more money to expand and hopefully to build an industry. But it's, this is a tough road, and we will continue to need support to make this happen. At the same time, the news is good. I mean, we are dropping costs. We've seen big cost reductions in solar over the last couple of years, and I think we're getting closer and closer to being able to power our society with clean energy, which ultimately is the goal.
And tell me again, with your processes applied, if they work out, what do you think would be the cost of producing electricity from solar?
Well, we have a nice graph in the conference room, which I would like to share with you. So what I like about this chart is that it's real data. And so this shows the price in 1978 when the cost of solar generated electricity was at $5 a kilowatt hour. And today we are very close to retail pricing at around 20 cents per kilowatt hour. And if you continue this trend, it's actually a pretty straight trend where, you know, there is one solid innovation after the other driving costs down. And in the end, you end up in the next decade, you'll end up at less than the price of coal-generated electricity. Mm-hmm. And so the point that we often make is that we're not inventing a new material here. What we're inventing is a new manufacturing process, a bit like Bessemer invented steelmaking. So Bessemer didn't invent steel. The Romans had steel. But he invented a new way of making steel that was 80% cheaper. And that led to the Carnegie fortune, it led to all the jobs in Pittsburgh at the time, and it led to the creation of U.S. Steel, that was the first company ever to have $1 billion in market capitalization. So these smart manufacturing innovations really make a big difference.
So here we are in the thick of this political debate about the Stimulus Act and whether it created jobs. But listening to you, I get the feeling that we might not know for a few years down the road what the real impact of this investment will be.
For sure. The sort of investments that RPE has made will not pay off immediately. It's not something that gets done overnight. New technology developments, the building of new industries, takes a little bit of time. Probably a little bit longer than our political cycle. So hopefully we'll manage to get through this. Keep our fingers crossed.